Thanks for tuning in to What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick. Very glad to be joined by Carol Rifkin. Also, Jeff Eason coming down the mountain from Boone. And Fred Mills joining us once again. Today, we look forward to the festival season and some of the notable big-time festivals in our region and around the country.
Oh, it's spring. It's so exciting. Festival season's here. Playing, watching, being there, playing the music from it. There's some new things in the traditional music world this year. You all know about Union Grove. I mean, the legendary Union Grove. That family is reviving the Union Grove Festival. They're going to have a Union Grove contest on Easter weekend. So I think we're all kind of watching.
The first outdoor festival I went to when I was a kid was the Union Grove Fiddlers Convention.
You and 150,000 other people.
True confession, I think I sneaked in there because we didn't have tickets. But it was great. It was eye-opening.
Yeah, some of my greatest experiences were avoiding Union Grove. I went to some really wonderful, one of my favorites where I met a lot of people I still play and dance with was the alternative to Union Grove in Mecklenburg, the last year of Union Grove. But Fiddler's Grove comes back the last weekend in, I believe, in May. Mount Airy in June. Fiddle Contest is a biggie in the world of traditional old-time music next to the hometown of Tommy Jarrell in Clifftop. In August is a big contest for the national old-time music crowd. The Mount Asheville's Mountain Dance and Folk Festival is that very same weekend, and I am always honored to be an MC one of the nights come Thursday night, shamelessly self-promoting.
Yay, Carol.
No, but I love the Mountain Dance and Folk Festival. It's the nation's oldest folk festival right out of Asheville, and I think Fiddler's Grove is the nation's longest-running continuous fiddle contest. After that, of course, is Galax, which is the monster of both bluegrass and old time. You want to hear great, you know, if you're a great instrumental person from anywhere in the world, there's a good chance that you went to Galax to try and make your name. And in our region, of course, there's things like Winfield and all that. And then, of course, we move along to Hoppin' John in the fall that are related to other things. And in south of here, we have the Haygood Mill, where they have lots of great fiddle contests and stuff, and I always enjoy being able to talk on the air about. I love when people send me results and that kind of thing that I can talk about. And then, of course, the season is getting ready to start with Merlefest. Right, Jeff?
Yes, Merlefest
Yay,
is celebrating
Merlefest.
Its silver anniversary this year.
Tell us about
year.
It, Uncle Jeff.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I got the lineup here.
Merlefest, how many times you been to that thing, Jeff?
This will be my 23rd year. I missed the first two Merlefests because I was away from the area, but I've been to every one since then. So I'm looking forward to my 23rd one. And it's tailor-made for WNCW listeners, I believe, because it's not just a bluegrass festival. I mean, you have all kinds of artists there.
Oh, what a lineup this year.
Los Lobos.
Los Lobos, man.
I mean, if you haven't seen them live, you haven't really heard Los Lobos, because I love their albums, but they never quite capture the sound of that band live.
Well, they tore it up at the Haynes Jam this past Christmas.
Time. How was that?
That was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, David Hidalgo and those guys.
I had never heard them live, like you said, on the record, and I'm a huge fan. I was just spellbound. I mean, it's amazing live, the difference.
Yep. And I haven't seen them live in quite a few years, since the late 80s, I believe, and I'm really looking forward to that. And you've also got some traditional bluegrass players like Daly and Vincent, but you also have people like Allison Krauss and Union Station, who are a lot more than just bluegrass. So Merlefest has something for everyone, and they've got about 12 different stages now. 15
I'm
stages?
Reading, and I think there's 15 stages.
And so you just wander around from old-time stage to the songwriter stage, the Chris Austin stage, the songwriter stage. And I believe Martin Anderson will be back this year.
Martin should be up there as usual, and we'll be broadcasting the festival there at WSIF. So for everybody that is attending Merlefest especially, you'll be able to hear it when you're not there at whatever stage, you can camp out and continue to listen.
That's always fun. You know, set up the little transistor radio there by the campfire and listen to the late stages of what's going on at Merlefest.
It makes it kind of real, too, to be here at the radio station announcing, you know, we read all those things on the air. You say WNCW and WSIF, and then there we are at Merlefest, and that's WSOF is the radio station at the college where they have it. But there is so much other great stuff and rural and regional acts at Merlefest that are really cool, too, on the dance stage, on the traditional stage. And I really love the heritage tent there. Mm-hmm. They have a tent where they have, like, continuous demonstrators. There's some really amazing stuff in there that they're actually making it. Pete and Kim McWhorter, like, throw pottery all day, and then they sing songs in between, but it's a great fun event. Of course, the Dance Tent, which I do love, the Dance Tent.
Yeah, the Calhouns from just south of Blowing Rock, they did some pottery demonstrations last year.
Uh-huh.
And then they took their show to the State Fair where they got Craftsman and Craftswoman of the Year.
Oh, cool.
So they'll be back at Merlefest. One of my favorite things about Merlefest is the Chris Austin Songwriting Contest. If you want to see the next tomorrow's stars, go to that contest. That's where I first saw Gillian Welch and David Rawlings. They won the contest. I think it was the inaugural Chris Austin Songwriting Contest. And Tiff Merritt was a contestant 1 year. I believe that was 93 that they were the David Rawlings and Gillian Welch won for their song Tear the Still House Down.
Mm-hmm. So, and they're a mainstay of WNCW now.
Yeah, and David Vai was one of the winners 1 year. So if you want to see tomorrow's stars today, check out the Chris Austin Songwriting Contest, which I believe is on the Friday each year at Merlefest.
While I'm hugging the microphone here, part of what makes Merlefest amazing is how many people Doc Watson has touched in so many worlds. I was there a couple years ago and was backstage talking to Taj Mahal, who said he was thrilled to be there because he had had a lifelong friendship with Doc Watson, who was one of his all-time favorite musicians and guitar players. And there's so many people that one of the things that's so special about Merlefest is that there are so many performers who want to be there instead of it's not a job. They're just getting paid out. They're there because they want to be there.
Yeah, the Kruger brothers basically moved from Switzerland to Wilkes County just to be near Doc Watson.
Right.
And
yeah.
So that's dedication.
Yeah.
Well, they want to be there, but they're working. No mistake about that.
True.
They are working a lot of gigs at Merlefest.
Yeah, they'll be on the traditional stage as well. There's lots of groups from our region going, George and Brooke Buckner, lots of groups you might only hear at the Shindig on the Green or at regional things. You know, Merlefest is really nice to mountain traditional music as well. They have a lot of stuff you wouldn't ever hear that you'll hear there, like the Paul's Creek Band. we're lucky enough to go up and play a few tunes for the dancers and sing some songs and... There's traditional workshops, you know, David Holt will do a clawhammer banjo workshop and things. It's just stuff that you don't see other places that have everything like that. Also include small stuff that they don't have to.
I like the point you made about the bands really wanting to be there. We have talked about festivals and what it is many times, at least every spring or summer. And this is no exception. The festival business just keeps rolling. But, you know, a bit of a formulaic S has crept into the mix, I think, where you know you're going to see during the festival season, it's like a certain set of bands just hit this one, going across, almost like doing a tour of festivals. And I think it's kind of watered down the uniqueness of a lot of the festivals, where if you know, no slight to the Flaming Lips, of course, or Death Cab to Cutie, or the Shins, or Radiohead, but you know they're going to be on all the festivals this year because they're touring and they're lucrative things to book. You can't blame them. But, I mean, really, I pulled up this website called musicfestivaljunkies.com and I started to print out a list of all the festivals and I stopped with July because it had already printed out over 125. It's amazing how many festivals there are, big and small, all over the country this year. I mean, the first one I've got listed here is March 2nd in Vail, Colorado, the Snowball Festival. I'm not sure what that is. But then, you know, it goes on to the Ultra Music Festival down in the end of March in Miami. And then we get to April with Merlefest, of course, in Coachella. Moving on to May, you've got the Hangout Music Festival down on the Gulf. And it just keeps going. It used to be the domain of jam bands, and now it's the domain of whatever genre you can imagine. I myself am going to the South by Southwest Festival in a few weeks, looking forward to that, because that's more of a music conference kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's transformed from being more of a strict music conference a la the CMJ in New York into one of the biggest festivals out there. There's like 50,000 people who are going to attend that thing, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's all over the place. And it's not like you go to a certain campground where you got a main stage and the side stages. It's basically, they do have the Auditorium Shores down, amphitheater down by the river in Austin. But they basically, it's just at all the clubs, including some that aren't actually clubs, that just become clubs for that week, and it also includes a film festival and an interactive and technology festival that happened the week before. So it really has blossomed. It became a real cluster something or other last year, but it's always fun. I'll put in a gratuitous plug for my magazine, Blurt Magazine. We're doing a four-day party down there on Wednesday through Saturday at a club called Ginger Man, and we've got everybody from the Etts to J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound to Garland Jeffries, John Langford, Rosie Flores, Chuck Prophets, the DBs, who have a new album coming out this spring. Can't wait for that. Amy Ray is playing.
Cool.
Ken Stringfellow, we've got a real special surprise that I can't say yet, but it will involve Ken Stringfellow and some DBs. Jim White, Tommy Stinson, John Doe, the Hobart Brothers, and Little Sis, which is something people should be looking forward to because that's Freedie Johnson, John D. Graham, and Susan Cowsill. I saw them play last year in Austin at South by Southwest, and they are a hoot. So the larger point being that if you're a music lover, you've got to, you know, just make the festivals, you know, part of your annual routine. Don't sit at home and pray that we won't have any of the tragedies that happened like did last year. You know, there were the Sugarland concert where a stage collapsed and people were killed, and a big festival in Belgium, something similar happened. I think there's been a lot of discussion on making outdoor events safer for concert goers as well.
But, I'm knocking on wood, Fred. Yep. I'm finding some wood to knock on.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that the DBs will be having, you know, their reunion or part of their reunion at South by Southwest, because it seems like it's a real trend with festivals these days for bands that are doing reunions. Instead of doing this big reunion tour, they get together at some of these festivals. I know at the upcoming Bonnaroo Festival, which has become one of the mega festivals or the mega festival of the country each summer, you're going to have reunions of Santana, the Beach Boys, Fish, and Ben Folds Five,
which I think
that would be pretty cool to have.
Well, it's a real marquee thing to be able to see your reunion at the top of the bill for these things, and it's a guaranteed paycheck. There's no iffiness about wondering, you know, a few years ago the concert business sort of took a nosedive, and some of these more high-profile tours wound up either having to truncate their itinerary or cancel altogether. So I think the festivals has become kind of a safe haven for bands that are going to kind of come back, and they know that they're going to be out there in front of, I don't know, 50,000 or however many people. So it's kind of a guaranteed thing.
Yeah, I know the Buffalo Springfield reunion at Bonnaroo is one of its marquee acts.
And one of the strengths of these, especially these large festivals, is the synergy that they can create with other media.
And if you're a touring band and you're doing a reunion tour per se, well, I mean, that's basically, it's costing you to put that tour on. If you're appearing at a festival, the promoters and the organizers are the ones that are paying for the lights and the PA system and the security and whatnot. So it's just a no-brainer. I don't mean that in a cynical way. Festivals have just become, rather than the something unique and different like they were back when Bonnaroo was just getting started out and kind of growing out of its jam band roots, they've become, you know, kind of the mainstream. They're not an alternative to anything now. They just are part of the whole landscape, and people continue to respond to them.
I think festivals have always been a big part of the Southern makeup, the whole tradition of maybe it's warmer, maybe it's easier to be outside longer and have a meeting place and a tent. And it's gone in waves, but there, you know, have just been an uprising as the old fiddle contest died, although some of them are making a comeback. Mm-hmm. There used to be a contest or an outdoor festival in every town.
That's a good point. I think they really did kind of emerge from the South.
Festival is a very Southern, warm weather kind of thing, because you couldn't have them year-round. And I mean, they've had them everywhere, but I think it's always been particularly Southern. And there are so many small ones that have sprung up. I mean, I remember the National Folk Festival circuit was really pretty limited. You could count on two hands. You knew the name of all the big festivals in the country. And now every region has a lot of really great quality small festivals that you can see, you know, national acts at. Floyd Fest in Floyd, Virginia, the Lake Eden Arts Festival, Leaf, of course, in Swannanoa. The Dawn of the Buffalo, you know, started the Shakori Hills Grassroot Festival from their one in New York, and they do Hop and John. the Steep Canyon Rangers, you know, do the Mountain Song Fest in Brevard. They're all relatively new. They're all successful. They all draw, you know, regional whatever. So it's like really at a time when other music businesses aren't growing, the festival business seems to be continuing in growth.
Well, I wonder if this is a generational change that we've sort of stumbled upon, where people are more disposed to taking in a buffet of music over the course of a few days rather than just having a one act plus opening act kind of experience that lasts for one evening for, say, you know, 3 hours or whatever. It seems like if what I alluded to a moment ago, that this has become the mainstream, I wonder if festivals might ultimately undermine the whole idea of a band getting on the road and traveling from city to city with the semis and everything, rather than the band coming to you. They all gather in one centralized place and you come to them.
I think it is a little bit of a generational thing with a lot of the kids today. They would rather go to an open air festival, see music in the daytime, have other activities rather than sit in an auditorium in Charlotte, you know, with armrests and sit there and watch their favorite band play 2 hours at night.
I don't know. I think maybe it's a rolling thing. I think I'm a product of the folk revival of 30 years ago, really, in terms of performing and traveling around. And that was one of the great appeals to us was let's go find some of those rural community festivals and go there. So it may be a cyclical thing of young people seeking something new outside. And it also was in a time of recession. So recession may be good for festivals and outdoor events. They're very community-oriented and fun.
Well, that's true. If superstar artists are charging, say, $100 a ticket, and you can see 30 bands for $150 a ticket, you know, it's pretty easy to vote with your pocketbook in that regard.
A staycation.
Yeah, a staycation,
it's
yeah.
A festival staycation.
But I say all this somewhat with a devil's advocate point of view. I think there's always going to be a place for going and sitting in a darkened theater and watching a drama unfold on stage in front of you. Might be on a movie screen, or it might be on a, you know, an actual stage where the performers are up there. I like the idea of sitting in a chair with an armrest and just kicking back and being entertained by the visual and the audio spectacle.
I hate that, Fred. I want to go run around a festival and see everything.
Carol, let's take that gimpy foot of yours and head to Bonnaroo right now. For those who don't know, Carol broke her foot. So we're going to drag her out to a festival and make her walk around the football field.
I'll be walking free
season.
March 20th.
Play some hacky sack.
Yeah, dancing at Merle Fest. Yeah. Ooh, that's painful to think about.
We're talking about festival season today on WNCW's What It Is. What are your thoughts? Email us whatitis@wncw.org, and we'll highlight your comments on our Friday edition of the show. For Public Radio, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin, Jeff Eason, and Fred Mills. Until next time.